to the Tech Savvy Professor Podcast. Two faculty who love tech and love making it part of their work. I'm Marty Gentius, an associate professor at Kent State University.
And I'm Eric Perry, clinical faculty at Southern New Hampshire University.
Eric, how was your week?
It was good. It was busy. We got back to school going here, and I've got two school-age kids, so my time to play around with tech has been a little limited, but I found some time to dig into a few things. I'm starting to look at some productivity apps and things related to our topic for this week.
You know, having had school-age children, there's a whole different thing that happens when school starts, and they disappear from your life during that period of time, that they're out doing possibly exciting things and engaged in their own little world for a good part of the day. But then there's that time when they come home and you need to want to connect with them again, and you need to want to hear about their stories about their world. So there's relief, but then there's also this additional kind of focus that you have with them in the evening and afternoons.
Yeah. And I think some of that's exciting, right? I think they're ready. They've had their break. They've had their, you know, fun stuff over the summer, and now they're ready to get in and do things. And I like that time. I like the getting home and catching up and, you know, whether it be dinner or whatever, you know, however we do that, to hear about how things are going for them and how these things at school are playing out. It's a lot of fun for me.
Things here have been a little bit less exciting, but more stressful. I think we've had classes starting up, and I mentioned in the last episode how students then realize they have all these different things they want to ask of you. I got an ask for permission to not attend a class in December. That's a November problem. That's not an August problem.
I appreciate the proactive, but yeah.
You know, this might be on your agenda, but right now it's not a big issue for me. And, you know, we've had some faculty shifts and changes and resignations and losses and retirements. So we're trying to regroup as a faculty in terms of who we are and what roles are going to play out now that we're back in a full semester. We've kind of talked about this last time, that this episode we're thinking of being a two-parter, where we're going to talk about calendars. This episode, we're going to talk about the ones we've tried. And next episode, I think we'll talk about what our workflow looks like. And not that I don't think there will be strict recommendations to come out of, but it might give the listener an opportunity to think about how they use their calendars, what's the best use of them for them, and maybe try out a few of the things that we've had some history with, because it is the eternal search for me to find the perfect calendar that integrates with everything, that I can throw a to-do item in that puts it in another app for me to have and it's just, I'm not finding that yet. So this discussion will kind of walk down that process for me. So what's your experience with various calendars?
For me, it's always been a digital thing. So I'll start there. I've never been a fan of the kind of written planner. I remember using them in school to some degree when it was required, but it never kind of fit well for me or worked well for me. But I found with digital calendars, it was a really helpful tool and resource most of the time. But now things have gotten a little bit more complicated. I'm looking for a calendar to do more. I'm talking about the kids going back to school and things happening. And, you know, I'd really like to have something that balances the business and the personal aspects, and then I can have everything that I need there. And you talked about tasks, Marty, and I think that's part of what I looked at too. It's funny, I remember at one point trying an app, and I wish I could remember what it was now. And it actually told me at one point, it says, we're going to stop reminding you now because it looks like this might be bothering you, because I would dismiss the reminder so many times.
Yeah, we have significant others to do that for us, to remind us multiple times until we finally get the job done.
I was just like, how intuitive. It realizes that I'm irritated by the reminders. So I, you know, I might have to do some research and figure out what that was again. So in any case, I work a lot with Outlook, particularly because the institution I work for uses Outlook. We use Teams quite a bit. So there's a lot of scheduling Teams meetings and things that happen through there. And I'll give Outlook credit. It's not a terrible interface. It's not a terrible system for collaboration, but it has some pretty serious limitations, I think. And it's not the greatest thing to look at. So I wanted to take a look at some of the things that they had out there, particularly that work well with kind of talking between PC and Android, because that's generally where, you know, my mobile devices are. I tried out TickTick. I thought that was interesting. So instead of TikTok, it's TickTick. It's a list and calendar app. It's really simple and basic in terms of the interface, which is okay, but didn't have a whole lot of features. I didn't really like the look as much. You have some customization options, and I played around a little bit with that. It will integrate with Outlook, allows list sharing and assigning tasks and chat between people that you can invite that are a part of the app. And it's $35 a year, $35.99 a year. So it's not a terribly high cost to get all those features. What I thought was interesting, too, is for something that looks to be appealing to someone in terms of an intuitive kind of app, you know, it tries to simplify things. It also has a lot of stats built in to take a look at, like, your productivity and whatever, which I thought was really, really neat. Another one I looked at was actually called Business Calendar 2, which I chuckled at when it came up as one of the top calendars for Android and PC. It's a really straightforward name for an app, Business Calendar 2.
Is it the sequel to Business Calendar 1? I mean, can we expect more explosions and more?
Yeah, it needs no introduction, right? It is Business Calendar 2, which is really neat. And it does have that more corporate kind of feel. You can even tell in the type text and font they use and the types of color schemes that they have in there that you can choose from. One thing I like is it's a one-time charge. It's $7.99 or $8.99, depending on where you get it from. It has tons of widgets, you know, for your phone so that you can customize kind of the look and feel. Lots of features. So lots of organizer voice input is really cool. That's what I liked about this one the most and really wanted to try out. So, you know, the voice recognition, using your voice recognition for tasks, to add tasks and to add calendar items was really neat. It worked fairly well, but I haven't had a whole lot of time to play with it. Maybe I'll update in the next show. The last one I really wanted to talk about was Cozy Family Organizer, right? Which sounds like the antithesis of Business Calendar 2. It is totally on the other end of things. And funny enough, my spouse
You bring them together in the same space and they can't coexist. They just kind of explode.
Yeah, they weren't going to implode.
They become a black hole and everything gets sucked into it.
Right. So Cozy is your antimatter to your Business Calendar too. It is really friendly, really easy to use. You know, there's kid friendly actually instructions that you can find around Cozy. So if you have kids with mobile devices, you can collaborate around family. What it does have, and I thought was interesting, was it integrates with Google Calendar, Apple Outlook. So it can allow you to have your own side, your calendar side, and then your shared events and items and really separate those in a way that I feel like is really easy. The reason I didn't keep it as like that one go-to thing, or any of these for that matter, is I still can't get Outlook to share my SNHU calendar because of the security settings with these other three. So my options are I'm going to have to copy everything over in some form or another, just so I know where my meetings are, but I can't seem to have it native there with the security settings. So I like all three. I think all three are interesting. They all three have some different strengths, but I want to continue to kind of just mess around with them and see what seems to work best. So that's been my test for this week. And what do you got for us, Marty?
I'm beginning to discover the same sort of university lockdown system. I mentioned it when looking for an email app that will work cross-platform, because now I was part of the dark side for a long time with Windows, and then in 2005 or so switched to Mac, Apple, and I'm all in that ecosystem. But then recently bought the Pixel Fold Android phone and like to carry it with me because it seems to be more functional than my flat only one screen iPhone right now, and it's a new toy. So it's the youngest child, so I give it the most attention. But the problem is finding calendar apps that work with both of them. And when trying to find email apps that would work with both platforms, I found some ones that I started to set up, and the university wouldn't accept that app as a as an input for me to cache my email onto. So they're starting to set up those firewalls and force us all back to the dark side of Microsoft. My history with calendars, I go back to the date where we didn't have centralized booking in an agency. You'd work in an agency and you'd keep your own calendar, and it was generally on a small calendar book. I tried to find the smallest one possible that was functional, one that would open up for the whole week on both sides of the page, and hour breakdown so I could put things in. So that's always been my view of calendars. And then when I got into Macs back in 2005, I started to and wanted to coordinate it with my iPhone. I started to use Apple Calendar. But Apple has never, Microsoft has never been kind to Apple. Let's put it that way. Apple has many things that export out to Microsoft, but Microsoft has nothing that exports out to Apple. So they didn't play well as partners. And although I like the look and feel of Apple Calendar, both on the desktop and also on my iPhone, I couldn't get it to integrate with my university calendar because they started using Outlook. It went that way for a long time until I found a app that was a desktop and also a iOS app. It does not have an Android version of it. It's called BusyCal, and did a nice job of pulling in Google Calendar, Outlook Calendar, and my Apple Calendar into one space. So I started using BusyCal for a long period of time, and then heard about Fantastical, which is sort of the premium calendar app for Apple Mac. It's got a cost to it. I think it's like $39 a year. So it kind of mimics what you were saying with regard to TickTick. I have subscribed to TickTick, so I might play around with it this week and see if I can integrate that across platforms. BusyCal, of course, does not have availability on Android. Fantastical does not have availability on Android. So I don't have that crossover. Google Calendar, of course, is really good. It looks very pretty on the Pixel and it works well, but it doesn't integrate with university calendars because our university will use Teams or use Outlook to set up appointments for groups. And I just cannot get that pulled into all of the different platforms that I have. So I'm trying to really look for cross-platform apps and have really been unsuccessful. GCal for Google Calendar works on my desktop Mac. It works on my iPhone. It really is kind of pretty and nice, but again, it still has that integration problem with our university Teams and Outlook system. I've used one calendar, which is what has been suggested, and it's ugly. It's UGLEY. It has no alibi. It's ugly. It just does not look pretty, particularly on mobile devices. It's just these tabs that, you know, the listing is tabs of really dull looking colors. I can't figure out who's working on the or why somebody would look at that and go, yeah, this looks pretty. I have not been excited about anything that I've found that's been really cross-platform. And I might wind up doing something like just saying, okay, so I'm going to use this calendar when I'm working on my Mac and my iPhone and my iPads, and I'll use this calendar when I'm working on my Android phone or other Android devices. And we just need to make sure that they're syncing up everything, that all of it goes to a central cloud sync and comes back down on both devices the same. So I can input on either device and it syncs up. I've been defaulting all of my meetings to Google Calendar. So when I have a choice of calendars, it's always the meeting calendar in Google. Whatever input I'm doing. If I'm doing it on Fantastical, or if I'm doing it on obviously Google Calendar, if I'm doing it on One Calendar, I'm always selecting the option for Google Calendar because that sort of centralizes. But I can't do that with Teams and Outlook. So looking for that coveted calendar that will do it all and integrate, you know, integrate tasks in it. I really don't like a calendar to tell me what I'm going to have to do today, but I do like a list of tasks that I can look at, and we can talk about task lists in some future episodes. So that's not a big thing for me to see all of that work that I supposedly have to get done today at the top of my calendar. But next episode, we'll talk about our workflow. So you know, listeners might want to look at some of these different applications. I'm going to go back to TickTick and see what it does, because I paid for that app. I mean, I like my apps to show up in my app store as being paid. I don't want to have to get a subscription outside of the app store, because I will forget that I have it and pay it ad infinitum. Whereas if it's in the app store, I can look at it and go, oh, yeah, I don't use it anymore.
So a total sidebar, but do you see now that there's services that will check to see what you're subscribed to let you know in case you forgot?
Yeah.
To the point now where some of us need that.
Yeah. And some have been accused of selling their subscriber list to people for ads. So it perpetuates more ads coming in your direction.
Right. Yeah. The cycle continues.
Some of that's built into, I'm seeing it built into the latest platform, like with Apple. It will allow you to, in the mail, Apple Mail, which I enjoy, we could talk about mail in some other case. It has built into the, do you want to unsubscribe from this? And I've seen that also on my Android phone. So it's beginning to do it for you. And I feel a little safer in that ecosystem than I do a third-party app.
Yeah, rightfully so. I think something else too, just maybe teaser for the next episode, what you talked about in terms of workflow, and I thought about this while you were walking through these apps. What I really want to happen is I want, and maybe this goes without saying, but I want everything there so that people trying to schedule with me know when I'm available. So if I have two separate calendars, I need whoever is looking for me or looking for time to meet or availability can actually see that. So keeping two calendars doesn't make a whole lot of sense for me, because I will have, you know, other faculty, you know, deans, directors who need to meet and are looking to accommodate that availability. And I need it to be able to show for whoever takes a look. I'd also like that to be the case for others outside of that university ecosystem. So that's part of the reason why I really want this one calendar thing to work, and it's so difficult coming up against it.
Yeah, there are some apps that this could be a show in an episode in of itself. There are some scheduling apps that will do that, that you block out series of times to say, this is where I'm going to see students, and students can make appointments instead of more flexible way, but more labor intensive way of saying, hey, students, send me some times you're available and I'll see which one plugs into my calendar. You know, do I want to really work? Do I really want to sit in my office or sit behind the desk on every Monday from 3 until 5 waiting for you to walk in? There are apps that you can set up for with different permission levels and different views of availability. Because I played with those for a while, but I felt like I was giving up my autonomy. You know, it reminded me of doing clinical work where, okay, I'm booked. They could book me with somebody anytime from 9 until 7. And the academic autonomy for me is kind of supersedes that. So lots of territory for us to go just from this calendar stuff.
For sure.
Anything else, Eric?
I think that's it for me for now. I'm going to go back and, you know, keep trying the three I have here and see how that goes.
Yeah, me too. So thanks for the ideas. Now I've got some things to play around with cross-platform. So next episode, we're going to reveal our calendar workflow. How can you get involved? You got a tech question? Are you trying to figure out how to do something with technology? Do you have an idea you'd like to share? You can email us at thepodtalknetwork@gmail.com. or call us and leave a message at 330-333-1240. Or you can just leave a message. Hey, guys, great to hear you on the podcast. We'll play the question, maybe even some comments on the podcast and try and get an answer to you. Our bumper music is from Philip Gross, Rast, from the Free Music Archive. That's it for today's show. Thanks for subscribing to the Tech Savvy Professor podcast. You can find us by searching Apple Podcasts for the Tech Savvy Professor. Look for us on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, and look for our other shows like Circular Firing Squad on the podtalk.net. Thanks for listening to the Tech Savvy Professor.